stop by there and get a prayer card, be praying for them as they're traveling. And as they found out, and as we're reminded, you know, missionaries and people doing the Lord's work are normal people. Their cars break down too and stuff like that, all right? So be in prayer for them as they're traveling. And then also that maybe the Lord opens some more doors for more ministries to open up and more bases to get on and all that. So what a blessing. But that is true. We've all been through things, and we need to deal with it biblically. We believe the Bible is the answer, don't we? Okay. We missed that one. All right. We believe the Bible does have the answers, right? Okay. All right. Very good. I wasn't sure if you were convinced of that, but we are convinced of that. But also, sometimes we need to know how to use it to confront those things. And so that's a help. If you don't have, we have an outline for our lesson tonight. If you need an outline, anybody need an outline? Okay. All right. Eli? Oh, okay. Yes, sir. They're right out there. Thank you. All right. And what we're going to look at tonight for just a little bit, we're going to do a Bible study on this, foundational Bible doctrines of this separation. I know how that goes, all right? You just said almost a cuss word, right? Separation. But here's the key is that we want to deal with things biblically. And if we've learned anything, our world is a mess. Have we figured out that, right? Right? And it's, there's so much anger and hostility towards this group and that group and against each other, and it's keeping us wound tight all the time, and it's a mess, okay? And so what we want to deal with tonight, just for a little bit, is generally, we want to deal with some separation of things that we do need to separate from, that the Lord commands us to, we'll see that, but also that's healthy for us, you know? Not everything that's around is good for us, right? We learn that at early age. That's why we don't, as I said Sunday, we don't have ice cream every meal, right? That's not good for us, okay? But at the same time, when it comes to separation, sometimes we need to do it, but we need to do it biblically, okay? When we're talking about this in general, I think of, you remember, it was a few years ago, it was right after I was out of college, I remember there was the big era of boycott, right? Boycott everything, all right? Boycott Target, and boycott Starbucks, and boycott apple pie, and boycott your grandma, or, you know, whatever, right? It was boycott everything. And here's the thing. If you start down that trail, we have to be careful, because you get to the point where it's like, well, I guess I better start a garden because that's the only place to buy some food. And I better not talk to anybody because we're going to disagree on something, right? And so we're to be in the world, but not of the world, okay? So that's what we're going to look at tonight. And honestly, I'm just going to go right down our outline here, okay? This is going to keep us on track. So as we start off this, a close study of the scriptures is necessary on this most important issue of separation, okay? That's the key. We start asking about people's opinions. Oh, boy, right? My dad used to say, opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got two of them, and they both stink, okay? All right, I don't know if I should have said that or not, but Pastor will be here Sunday. He'll fix. All right. But truthfully, it is. Many times we're going based upon our opinions, and everybody's got an opinion or two or 300, okay? It's always funny that they're like, well, I don't agree with that person. And if you think, half the time, I don't agree with myself, okay? All right, but here's the key. A close study of the scriptures is necessary on this most important issue of separation because people tend to substitute personal conviction for scriptural truth. Okay? So how do we know the difference? Well, that's what we're going to talk about a little bit. Okay? Now, this is very important. As soon as we say that, a lot of times we'll start doing, yeah, amen, you get them. Right? And who is it that we're getting? Well, that person that doesn't see eye to eye with you. Okay? All right? So it is true that sometimes we tend to substitute personal conviction for scriptural truth. However, here's the clause. We do not wish to suppress personal convictions. We want to encourage it. There are things, as the Lord speaks to our heart about, that we need to respond to Him. Okay? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Okay? When the Lord speaks to your heart, when the spirit of conviction is there, you need to deal with it. Okay? All right? I jokingly talked about the whole Starbucks and Target and all that kind of stuff. Okay? I'm just telling you, if the spirit of the Lord says, don't go there, then the best thing you can do is follow the Lord. Don't go. Okay? All right? So that's out there. But we want to encourage it. But we must not expect everyone to share our personal convictions. Here it is. Unless they can be backed up with chapter and verse. Chapter and verse. Okay? We just said it. We believe the Bible has the answers. If it doesn't specifically says it, it does say it in principle or practice. Okay? We believe that. So, many times what does happen is we are convicted from the Holy Spirit about something that we would say might be personal conviction, and then we portray that on everybody else. Well, how dare you drink a Starbucks coffee? Okay? Again, you follow the Lord. Okay? But at the same time, when it is chapter and verse, do not back down on that. Okay? Here's what I'm saying. Think of it this way. Don't gray black and white issues. If it says it in the book, it means it. Okay? So don't try to gray black and white areas. However, the opposite is true as well. Okay? Don't try to black and white gray issues. Now, I know that kind of sets us off into a whole nother thing, but that's the truth. We need to make sure that what we're doing is from the Bible, but also if the Lord does convict us about something in particular, listen, we need to respond to him. Again, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Okay? And we got to understand that the Lord is working on all of us. And everybody's at a different point in life. So somebody who's been saved for 50 years, let's be honest, they should be more advanced in their Christian life than somebody who's been born again 5 months. Right? Different places of life. It should be. Now, that's a sad reality that sometimes somebody who's just recently saved might be more progressed in their Christian life than somebody who's been saved a long time. And that's, again, that's maturity and growing in the Lord. Now, here we go. Number one, who is the author of separation? Who's the author of separation? Let me just do a little bit of business here for a second. And I need a few people that'll read some scripture for me. That'll save us some time. If you're willing to read one, will you just raise your hand? Lady, gentlemen alike. Okay? All right, Miss Carolyn? All right, would you look up Genesis 1:4? Okay? All right, someone else? Okay, Brother Wayne, would you look up Matthew 13? Okay? Eli? Look at 1 Corinthians 9, 7 through 10. Okay, we're going to kind of jump ahead a little bit. Okay, just get these verses where you have time to find them. Okay, a few others that we'll read some scripture for us. Okay, all right. Miss Rob, would you mind, let's see here, Romans 13. Romans 13, it's on the second page, 2A. That's the scripture reference there. Okay. All right, someone else? Okay. Brother Steve, would you mind looking up, let's see here, 2 Corinthians 6. And if you'll stay there, I'm going to call on you a couple times. All right, Brother Steve? Okay. All right. Another? Okay. Miss Christina, John 17, 15. That's 3A1, if you're looking it up. All right. 3A1 on our outline. All right. It has the verse right there. Okay. And then someone else? Brother Rob, would you mind looking at Romans 1, 1? Someone else? Okay. All right. Brother Frank, would you do Romans 13, 14? Okay. Romans 13, 14. All right. And I got one more. One more. Okay. You want to read one? Okay. All right. 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Okay. Okay. All right, now I'll call you on you as we go. All right, so number one, the author of separation Here's a few instances. Now, if we were to go from each one across Scripture of things we should be separating from and to, all right, the list would be forever, okay? All right, you would all be crying unto Pharaoh, let my people go, okay? So we won't do that. So here's a couple, all right? So the author of separation we know is God, all right? And here's a few instances of separation. Genesis 1:4, Ms. Carolyn, would you mind reading that for us? Okay, all right. So number one, the division of light and darkness. Okay, that's a division in Scripture. The division of light and darkness. Now, I've gone to Deuteronomy 22, and there's a few verses here we'll read through. I'll read those. But as we look here, number two is this. We see a division of seeds. Seeds. S-E-E-D-S. Seeds. Okay? Deuteronomy 22:9 says, thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with divers seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Okay? Now, I promise we are going somewhere. We're not just going to say this and move on. Okay? But we will look at it in the second part. So we see a division of seeds, all right? Did I give anybody Matthew 13? Okay, all right. Yes, sir. Sure. Just start reading, and if we get the section here, then I'll shut you off. But that way, we'll get most of it, all right? Okay, go ahead, Brother Wayne. Okay, Matthew 13, 24 through 30. Yep, if you'll start at 24. Okay, all right. So there is a real-life scenario of division of seeds, right? The seeds. So you're sowing the seed, and amongst it is sometimes the good seed, all right? And then here it talked about that Satan threw in some seeds of tares, okay? Now, we'll break that down a little bit more in a little bit. But what we want to use these as kind of some illustrations to help us in this Bible separation, okay? So first of all, division of light and darkness. Number two, division of seeds. All right. Now, number three is division of beasts of burden. Okay. Now, I promise we are going somewhere. Okay. All right. Division of beasts of burdens. So, Deuteronomy 22:10, thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Okay. All right. Now, we'll see. Again, we're going to make some application of this in just a minute. Not to be combined, okay? Now, letter B here, we see these four instances. Letter B, the interpretation of separation, okay, from these specific ones that help us. I believe that the Bible does apply. And though we'll see here that some of these were ceremonial, it's to be learned, okay? All right, if that was the case, we'd look at the whole Old Testament and say, none of that applies to us anymore. We're New Testament, throw it away. Okay? But the Bible says it was written for our admonition. Okay? We are not Israel. Yet many times to the Scripture, we can apply lessons that we learn of how God dealt with Israel. Okay? All right? So my point being is this, with these four things, you'll look at it and you'll say, hey, that's Old Testament law. We're not under law, we're under grace. And I say, amen to that. Okay? I know what testament we live in. Okay? But at the same time, what we can do is we can learn lessons from it. Okay? All right, and that's what we find in 1 Corinthians 9, 7 through 10. Did I give that to someone? Okay, Eli, if you'll read those three verses. All right, so in that passage, what it tells us is that those, like the illustration of that thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox, well, does that mean God hates the oxen? No, not at all. But what he did do is he gave that for our learning, okay, for our learning. So that's what it says there. So as we break that down here, number one is the division of light and darkness, but here's how we would apply that. So number one, spiritual light cannot mix with spiritual darkness. Okay? So God separated light from darkness. There is a difference between the dark and the light. Okay? So he separated those things. So God taught us a lesson through that, and that was that spiritual light cannot mix with spiritual darkness. Those two don't mix. They're like oil and water. Okay? Many times the problem is that we're trying to mix them. Okay, number two, when seeds of spiritual impurity are sown among good seeds, it becomes difficult to distinguish the spiritual fruit from the tares. All right, now what that looks like is this. You plant a garden, and you plant all the nice rows, and you put all of the things clustered together, right? So you got all your corn over here, and you got all your carrots over here, and you got all your beans over here, right? And you do all that work, okay? Well, if you don't tend to that garden, there's this little thing called weeds, right? They're a part of the curse, amen, all right? But what happens is that you get them all mixed in there, okay? And they can be so mixed up that you can't even walk down the rows anymore. It's full of weeds. And to harvest it is a mess, right? When we were taking that bus over to Iowa, I don't know if you know this or not, but what I learned is Iowa's got a lot of farming, all right? I learned that pretty clearly. I saw a lot of corn, and it was not the 4th of July, but it was over knee high, all right? So that's good growing corn, right? And you look at it, and the amazing thing is, you look at all that corn, and what you don't see a lot of them on the good fields is, you don't see any weeds. They spend lots of money, okay? They spend lots of money to make sure that those weeds don't grow in there. Why? Because your harvest will be a big mess if you're trying to cut through all these weeds. And when you're doing the grain, and when you're doing all the different things, right? Anybody go to Walmart and you buy a cob of corn and you just really hope that it's full of briars and stickers? No, right? So here's what happens. I've learned that some weeds, I'm from the Panhandle of Texas. Anybody ever heard of a tumbleweed? Tumbleweeds can get bigger than your car. I'm not preaching. I'm not lying. All right? I'm telling the truth. Okay? They can get as big as your car. And what happens is those weeds can grow up so big that you can't even see the fruit. You know what happens in our lives sometimes? We let the sin of this world spring up in our lives so much so that we can't even harvest the fruit. Can't even see it. Can't be seen by others. Right? So we got to be careful with that. So letter A there, the distinct quality and testimony of the good seed is swallowed up and hidden among the bad seeds. And even the New Testament talks about that our fruit, that it'll grow up in that good ground and be choked out. Why? By the weeds and all of that. Okay? So that's what it helps us to learn. Number three, which is the division of beast of burden, is this. Number three, the activities or work of this world are not suited to the lifestyle of a Christian. Can I just tell you that what lost people, and I say this very carefully, okay? What lost people can do, what lost people can do is many times a lot of that should never be named amongst Christians. Okay? Animals of different strength, size, and temperament do not work well together. They are not suited to do the same things. Okay, that'll help us. So in our separation, when it talks about division of beasts of burdens, we look at that and say, well, I don't have any oxen and I don't have any mules. Okay, but do you have coworkers? Do you have neighbors? Right? And okay, well, we do. Well, just ask the Good Samaritan, right? That whole story. The lawyer who asked about that, who is my neighbor? Well, God answered that question real easily. Okay, so you have a neighbor, I guarantee it. Okay? But at the same time, what that means is that as a Christian, living the life that God would have me to live, there's some things that they do and some activities that they're a part of that I have no business doing. Why? Because I belong to Christ. Okay? All right? Number four, which is the division of garments. God's people should not blend those things that are godly with those that are ungodly. I'll show you an example of this. Oh, I'll tell you about it. I would say mid the 90s, all right? The 90s-ish. There was a lot of things that came out during that time frame that a lot of it was we're trying to be catchy and we're trying to be edgy and we want to do some things that kind of blend the world to Christianity. All right, and I don't say this lightly. I am telling you, I went to a Christian bookstore. I saw it with my own eyes. There was a T-shirt that came out for a while, and it was this. Please, I'm not endorsing this, okay? It said this. It had the font of a beer company, Budweiser, and they changed it to Godweiser, and it said, "This blood's for you." Okay, that is the epitome of rottenness from hell. Okay? That is sacrilegious. That is all sorts of perverted. Okay? All right? Now, here's what they did. They took ungodly things and tried to stitch it together with godly things. Okay? There is no such thing as Christian rap. There is no such thing as Christian rock. I really like this group. Why? Because they sing words about Jesus. Who does it sound like? Limp Bizkit. And if you don't know who that group is, it's from my growing up that I only know about them. All right? I promise. But do you understand that the godly and the ungodly, sometimes we're trying to stitch that together to make it more palatable for lost people. And it, in our letter A here says, some fabrics should not be blended because some things should not be put together. Okay? How can two walk together except they be agreed? All right? So number two, so first of all, we saw the author of it. Okay? This is from the scripture, that separation and God, and again, those are just a few lessons that we can learn. There's many, many more. Okay? All right, but here, number two, we look at this, the command of separation. The command of separation. Now, we're going to put it into overdrive, so buckle up. You ready? All right, letter A is this, put away darkness. Clear command from Scripture. Romans 13, 12 through 14. Who's got that one? Okay, yes, ma'am. You'd read. Okay, very good. So put away darkness. Number one is this, what should the Christian put on? If they're to put away darkness, what did the scripture say here to put on? It was this, the armor of light. The armor of light. Okay, so put away darkness, that's a command from scripture. Letter B is this, not unequally yoked together. That could go back to the beast of burden, right? Not unequally yoked together. Now, let's read it. Who's got 2 Corinthians 6:14? Okay, Brother Steve, if you'd read it for us. All right, very good. Okay, number one. The application that you always hear this to is in what major area? Marriage. Does it apply to marriage? Yes. Does it apply elsewhere? Yes. Okay? Marriage is not the only application of be not unequally yoked together. Okay? I'll just say it for time's sake. Okay? And that is this. As a Christian, my best and closest confidant should not be a lost person. Because why? Unequally yoked together. So it applies, should a lost person marry a saved person, or should a saved person marry a lost person? The clear thing that we would all shout is no. That causes a lot of problems. There's a family that I've known since I was, she was there. She was a nurse, no lie, in the room when I was born. They always like to remind me of that. They were like, hey, Miss So-and-so, she was there when you came out in your birthday suit. Thank you. Thank you. All right? But she was there, okay? Lovely lady. Her husband is unsaved and have been praying for him for going on now, 38 years. And still praying. And God can still do a great work. But to ask her and say, has that not caused some issues? They would definitely say it has. Okay? And we could go around the room and probably hear some testimonies. We won't. Don't worry. Okay? But unequally yoked, yes, that does mean marriage, but that also means other relationships as well. Okay? I'm not saying that you have to have your best friend be in the church that you go to. No, but how can your best friend be unsaved and y'all be like this? It's unequally yoked. That's like an oxen and a donkey trying to plow together. Okay? It doesn't work. Okay? Now, does that mean we should go live in a convent up in the Bighorn Mountains? Negatory, Ghost Rider. All right? It doesn't. But it does mean that our close acquaintances, there's got to be that separation. Number one, the work of a Christian should be to glorify the Son. That's righteousness. Okay? It is contrary to the unbeliever's nature to glorify the Son. Okay? Asking a lost person to glorify God is like asking an orange to be an apple. They can't. Okay? All right? So, the work of a Christian should be to glorify the Son. It is contrary to the unbeliever's nature to glorify the Son. Letter C. All right, 2 Corinthians 6, Brother Steve, you're still right there, right? Okay, would you mind reading verse 14? Which you just read that, I'm sorry. Yeah, will you read 14? It's in that same verse. Very good. All right, I think it might be the next one. Very good. Very good. Okay, so letter C is this: come out. Come out from among them. That's a clear command from Scripture. Okay? God's clear command is to come out from among unbelievers. Okay? Letter A here, be a few words. Our goals, motivations, activities, and attitudes should differ from the lost world. When I was in Bible college, something that was ultra stressed to us was this, that the way you work at your job speaks for generations of students coming behind you to that college. Okay? So they were like, hey, you make sure if you're going to tell those people that you go to this Bible college, you make sure you don't act a fool. I mean, it was in a bunch of our classes. Right, Heidi? Yeah, I heard it a lot. Okay? Can I tell you, that shouldn't just be from Bible colleges. That should be from all of us, that the best employees at any business in America, across the world, the best employees should be Christians. Sure. Sure. Okay, activities and attitudes. So our goals, motivations, activities, and attitudes should differ from the lost world. When your fellow coworkers are standing around the water cooler, just bad-mouthing everybody and it's grandma, all right? We shouldn't be there. We shouldn't be there, okay? Why? Because that's what God talks about us coming out from among them. Come out from among them and be separate. Okay? All right, number three. So we talked about the author of separation, which is God, the command of separation, and number three is this, the character of separation. All right? What is that? What does it look like? What does it show up as? Okay? All right, I will say that when it comes to Bible separation, what we're about to talk about with this situation is usually the most overlooked part of separation. Okay, I'll show it to you. The two aspects of separation, that's letter A, the two aspects of it. John 17:15, who's got that one? Okay, Miss Christina? From the evil. Okay? All right? So number one, being separate from the world. Now that's the one that we talk about all the time. Okay? Right here. Jesus was saying, hey, not that I'm trying to take you out of this world, but that I want you to be protected from the evil. That's being in the world, but not of the world. Okay? All right? So here it is. This is the most overlooked part of separation that we most of the time miss, okay? And that is this, being separate unto the Lord. We talk about staying away from the wicked stuff, but what we don't talk about is we're staying away from the wicked stuff of this world to being separated unto the Lord, okay? When you take something away, there's a void. What happens is anything that can try and steal that void will come after you. So let me show it this way. I don't drink. Praise the Lord. All right, that's very biblical. All right. All right. I with the teenagers in our class a lot, I will use this illustration a lot. The Bible doesn't specifically say it, but we know that we shouldn't do methamphetamine. Right? So I'll say this all the time. All right. As a Christian, we should not do meth. We understand that, okay? All right, so we use that as a broad one, right? We could dial it in, but we won't. But here's what happens, is when I say, well, I don't do that because I'm a Christian, what happens is many times it leaves a void that, oh, I don't do that. But what happens if we're not working to separate ourselves unto the Lord, where the Lord fills that void, What happens is something else will. Well, I don't drink. Please, I am not trying to be dirty or perverted, but I'm telling you this is what happens a lot in Christian circles. We'll brag about the fact that we don't do meth. We don't do drugs. We don't do that. But sometimes instead of filling it with the Lord, we fill it with something else. Pornography. Bitterness. Secret sins that people don't see. So what happens is, well, I've made this void because I don't do that activity in life. And what it should be is that I'm separated from that unto the Lord. I'm growing closer to the Lord. But what, if we don't replace it with the Lord, which is what we need, we'll fill it with something else. Okay? We'll fill it with something else. How about your garage? Your garage is where the car's supposed to go. I get it. Some of us use it as something else, right? It's where all the other stuff that doesn't really, that's where the battery charger goes, right? That I get it, okay? But in all the rooms of your house, which room is the one that's made to house a car? Well, the garage, okay? Let me tell you why I'll just step out on a real far limb here. I'll tell you why your car's parked in the driveway and not in the garage. Because there's something else in there. You go right down over there, you'll see my garage the same way too. All right? Okay. My point being is that when we separate ourselves from something, we've only done half. Our goal is to separate ourselves from the wicked one, to put away darkness, to not be unequally yoked, to come out from among them, but to be separated unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. Okay? All right? Here's number three. It's not just a list of negative things to not do, but being set apart unto the Lord. Can I remind you in Old Testament worship of the Lord, there were vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Okay? And what those vessels of honor were is you didn't use those. It's like the fine china. All right? I don't cook a hot pocket on Linda's sweet china that she got from when we were married. I don't cook a hot pocket in the microwave with that. Why? Well, it's got the silver edging around it. No, I don't cook a hot pocket on that. Why? Well, because it's special, right? Okay? So what happens is separation, most of the time, Bible separation, we just automatically think, well, that just means we don't do all this stuff. Our list of not to do. But we forget it's about being set apart unto the Lord. You know why I don't drink? So I can be used by the Lord. You know why I don't do methamphetamine? So I can be used by the Lord. Okay? And so our thinking is the list of don't. Well, I can't do this, and I can't do this, and I can't do this, and I can't do this because I'm a Christian. Well, you get to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Okay? So it's not just a list of negative things that we don't do, but it's about being separated unto the Lord. Letter B. The result of separation. What's the result? Okay? Brother Steve already read this, but here's the answer for number one. The result of separation, when we separate ourselves, when we come out from among them, when we put away darkness, when we are not unequally yoked, here's what happens. Number one, the reward of biblical separation is fellowship with the Father. The reward of separation is fellowship with the Father. You know what will stop you from being able to have sweet fellowship with God? Those secret things that we're hiding. Bitterness, pride, wrath, drunkenness, all those things. You know what happens many times? Let me ask you this. Personally, you just evaluate your life. And you think, when you're not in a good place, right? When you are away from the Lord, when you have sin or things in your life that you know shouldn't be there, is your first wake up in the morning this? Oh man, I get to talk to God today. Not for me. There were times when I got in the truck to ride with my father, I hated riding with him by myself. Why? Because I was afraid he'd ask me about some of the things that I was doing in secret. So I didn't want to ride with him. I didn't want to run to the store with him. I didn't want to go on errands. Why? Because I don't want to spend time with him. We do that to God all the time. Man, I don't feel like praying, okay? It could be a difficult time in life. Job didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong, okay? But sometimes we claim to be Job. I'm just going to pull some out of the air, okay? We claim to be Job when we're more like Achan. Okay? So what the benefit of Bible separation, why should I come out from among them? Why should I separate myself from those things? So I can have fellowship with the Father. Okay? Number two, the fellowship and blessing of God depend upon our practicing Bible separation. I've heard it said this way, God always gives his best to those who leave the choice to him. The key to God's blessings is O-B-E-D, I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Right? That's Bible separation. So the fellowship and blessing of God depend upon our practicing Bible separation. Everybody's favorite, the conclusion, right? All right, here we go. The conclusion is this. The promise of God's fellowship should motivate us to true Bible separation. The promise of God's fellowship should motivate us to true Bible separation. Maybe you've heard it said something like this. When there's things between me and God aren't right, then me and people aren't going to be right either. Right? Okay? So what that means is on the flippity-flop is this. That when I'm separating myself from sin, from wickedness, so that I can have sweet fellowship with the Lord, it's going to help me with all those around me. Okay? The promise of God's fellowship should motivate us to true Bible separation. Why should we stay away from certain things? Let me use this as a super, super silly illustration, but quickly proves the point. I heard a preacher one time, and he got up, and he said this. He said, I don't care how many doctors say it. I don't care how many psychologists say it. I only care that the Bible says not to drink. I only care. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about that? Why? Because I want to be right with the Lord. And sometimes what we're trying to do is we're trying to prove Bible concepts with, you know, well, this doctor over here says it's not good for you. Well, let me just tell you, God already said it's not good for me. So I'm going to go with that. Okay? All right? So it should motivate us. Why do you stay away from the bar? Why do you stay away from terrible places? Why do you do that? It should be that I want to have fellowship with the Lord. Well, my parents said I'm not allowed to. Okay? Wrong motivation. Preacher's going to come knocking on my door if he said, I heard you went down to such and such place. Wrong motivation. Well, fellow Christians are going to look down on me because I don't go to that place. Okay? Wrong motivation. Wrong motivation. Our only motivation for separation should be this, God's fellowship. And that'll help you from the bad attitude of, well, I can't do this, and I can't do that. Well, God won't let me have any fun. Well, you missed it. Because this, here it is, separation is not the goal. What? You just had a whole lesson over separation. Correct. Separation is not the goal. You ready? Holiness is the goal. Holiness is the goal. Separation is the avenue to holiness. Why do I stay away from that stuff? Whatever it is. Why do I stay away from it? So I can be holy. So I can be proud and arrogant and I can boast to everybody about how I've never done this and I've never done that. No. The goal is holiness so that I can be used by God. I do or don't do. I know this is a lot of do's. All right, I got it. I do or don't do what I do so I can be holy. Why don't you cuss? Because I want to be holy. Why don't you do that? Because I want to be holy. So I separate myself from those things. Okay? Let me tell you this as we finish. Holy, H-O-L-Y, and holy, H-W-H-O-L-L-Y. Okay? Hey, I looked this up today. They're homophones. You know what a homophone is? They sound alike, but they don't mean the same. But truthfully, I know that ChatGPT said that they have nothing in common, but I would dare say that they have a lot more in common than we think they do. Holy. Why do you want to live holy? So that the Lord can have me holy. That's the goal of separation. Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings to us.